going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
It is the death lineup, and we're going to talk about Steph Curry, and we're going to talk about the Warriors, but we're also going to talk about Brian was at the Valkyries game live, their very first preseason game, the first game ever in Valkyries history, and the first game ever at the Chase Center for Valkyries. So a lot of firsts for that, and then we'll talk a little bit about the roster and the TV broadcast of that game, which was not fantastic, if I do say so myself. But first, let's talk Warriors, because the news of the day, I thought the news of the day would be beating Minnesota in Minnesota, stealing one in Minnesota, but it actually is not, because of what happened in early in the game. Steph Curry popped his hamstring. And according to the Warriors and Shams Charania, who I believe reported first, grade one left hamstring strain, ruled out for game two, which is Thursday. And just by the reading the tea leaves and listening to all the content, like, I think people will be surprised if he's back before game six, which is kind of shocking to hear, but it is a hamstring, not anything Steph has ever dealt with. That is going to be a tough one to battle Minnesota without Steph for the first five games of this series, but they did win game one.
What a bummer, man. I mean, so I was at the Valkyries game, so I was indeed not watching the Warriors game live, but I saw a text with you and Ben that was like something about Steph, and then I got the Anthony Slater tweet that he was Mike Dunleavy got out of the locker room. No, Curry was behind him or something like that. So I didn't know what had happened. And I feel like this is casually like the worst news of all time. And not as many people, I feel like, are. I think it's just because we stole game one that it's not, you know, just completely down in the dumps. But man, that's a, you want any type of chance of, you know, them spoiling their championship contending run. And it was like, okay, they dropped that game to the Spurs in the regular season. They made it so much harder on themselves. It felt like they weren't a contending team to, because they allowed something like that to happen. And then they lose to the Clippers and they have to go into the play-in. And it felt like in that moment, they were not like, they weren't for real. Like they've shown us so many times that they weren't for real, by then backing it up with they are for real, just for this to happen. The Rockets not knocking them out, just, you know, dumping game five. Okay, we dumped game five, so we have to win game six. Not winning game six, having to go to seven, and then beating them in the fashion you do in game seven. You're not for real, now you're for real. And then you go to this Minnesota, and it's like, okay, every reason in the world to lose game one. And they come out up 10 by the time Steph goes down. And it's just like, they were for real, and now it feels like they're not again. So just a whirlwind of emotions with this team, and such a bummer that that Steph goes down like that.
when he went down, the Warriors had a pretty big lead. Not a giant lead, but they were ahead. Minnesota could not score the basketball. I think they scored 31 points in the first half of that game. Ended up with 88. So they were not shooting well. The Warriors were defending fairly well, but a lot of it was just they were not shooting well. Ant-Man had a horrible first half, maybe the worst I've ever seen him play, though not like I've seen every Ant-Man game. And then they started to chip away in the second half, which you knew was going to happen. But the Warriors kind of offensively did just enough. Draymond was like the offensive star of the first half. He had four threes in the first half. Then it was Jimmy and Buddy, Robin and Alfred in the second half. And did you, by the way, did you see all the post-game stuff with those guys?
Like really good. Like really good stuff. My favorite part.
Where did it come from?
My favorite part is when Buddy Hield starts doing like the now he's making me forget what the hell they're called. Quotations. Did you see that one?
No, I didn't. I heard the audio of it, but I didn't see the video. Did he do it like a V or something?
No, he was just doing like, he was saying like, Jimmy keeps saying so and so. I forgot the exact phrasing he was saying, but he kept doing it in quotations. And Jimmy was like, do you even know what that means? And he goes, two fingers. And Jimmy, they start cracking up.
How much of this is an act and how much of this is just Buddy just being a naive dude?
I think he's a goofball. Everything I've ever heard. Like, I have a buddy that, like, I have a buddy that went to Buddy Hield's party in Sacramento. Like, how did Buddy just allow, like, random Sacramento people to, like, go to his house party?
I think we got to shout him out, though, because the shot is not always going to be there. But the effort has been there. And he's not the best defender in the world, but he's, like, trying really hard on defense. So I don't know where that came from, because that's not really his reputation. Maybe it's whatever the Warriors, you know, their style or whatever, their culture is built in. Because he's actually defending out, like, far, like, past the three-point line. He's just getting after it. And, you know, Jimmy's Jimmy. He just calms everything down. But here's the real question. So let's say that Steph is out until game six. I mean, even game five, that is a struggle to play four more games without him, or three more if he's back by five, and four more if he's back by six. And that is not even a given. You know, we're probably pushing that due date up just because we know it's playoffs. But let's say that Steph is out for at least three to four more games. They stole the first one. More than likely, Ant-Man's going for 50 on Thursday. Like, yeah. I just don't see another scenario where the Warriors win this rock fight again. I think, you know, they're going to come out swinging. So game three and four in San Francisco, I do think the Warriors get one, even without Steph Curry.
Mm.
So if you go back to Minnesota, 2-2, even if Minnesota wins with the specter of Steph Curry hanging in game six, you still give yourself an opportunity. They already won one game seven in Houston. So them going to game seven on the road is not like, I mean, it's not the easiest, but they've done it.
They just did it.
They just did it. So the main question is, do you think the Warriors have a chance to win this series in with everything that has happened?
I'm not going to lie. I gave them a pretty rough percentage to win this series after game six. Like, after game six against Houston, I was like, even if they win game seven, you know, they're on every other day. Like, I don't feel good about this. And like I said, not for real, for real. Like, they win game one. And I'm like, holy, like, yes, I do think there's a chance they win the series. I don't think it's likely. But I do think, you know, just like you said, like plus minus has been saying, I listened to the North South pod with TK and Dylan Hernandez, and it was just like, can you get one in the next three, four games? Can you get one just to get it to six so that Steph has a chance of coming back? Like, what if you, like, I don't even want to get ahead of myself. What if you get two? And then if you get two, I think you don't bring Steph back in game six. And if it goes to seven, then you bring it back. Like, you just want to give him more. This is like unfamiliar territory for him with this injury.
He would want to close game six at home, though. if you had the opportunity to close game six at home,
yeah,
he would want to close it down.
That's true.
So, you know, if you take two at home, you have a chance.
Like, oh, you don't just have a chance. Like, it's likely. If you go up 3-1, it's likely you win the series. I'd feel confident even if they went up 2-1 that it becomes quite likely that they'll win the series.
Yeah, it's a tough one. And you know what's hovering on the other side is Oklahoma City, but then they lose game one to Denver in a game where I'm still quite not sure how they lost that game, but they did. And so, you know, it's like one of those moments, you know, Rocky IV, the Russian is cut, you know, when Denver actually beat Oklahoma City, you're like, oh, you know, maybe we can't just pencil them in to win it all. But if you think about, like, best case scenario, and I told you what the best case scenario for me was for the Warriors to face Oklahoma City early because they would be healthy and like have legs. The worst case scenario would be Jimmy with the, you know, the broken butt and Steph with the bad hammy. And, you know, Draymond's been limping up and down through this. I think some of it's just fatigue. Like going to Oklahoma City with the beat up team that they have, that one might be too much to overcome. But as we saw, Denver wins game one. Who knows? Maybe Denver gets more than one.
I think so.
And they make this a real struggle.
I think so. I think it would be crazy if there's like a gentleman sweep after a game one win. What a shot by Aaron Gordon, too. He's having an incredible playoffs. Just very important moments. He's showing up. Bay Area product, man. Arizona product. But
he's having a great, like, I guess this is technically his post prime, but he just seems like such a smart basketball player. You know, when the Warriors, and not to say the Warriors and Denver are going to have another series, but let's say that they both won their series and you have the Western Conference Finals as Warriors Denver. Like, Jokic is absolutely a problem for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Gordon is one of the hard, like, he's kind of like Naz Reid for the Timberwolves. He's just so hard for them to deal with because he's got size and he's got the athleticism to where you can't just stick Jimmy Butler on Aaron Gordon because he's too big, he jumps too high, he's too strong. So if you got to put Draymond on him, and then what do you do with Jokic? Like, it's just such a matchup problem.
Yeah.
But I would like to care about that problem. Yeah, if we could, because that would mean that they both got there.
Yeah, I mean, the last time that they played against Denver, Aaron Gordon was the guy they picked on from an offensive perspective of just leave him a wide open left corner and he's just going to clank. But now he's figured out a way to become effective while not being an amazing three-point shooter just by cutting at the right point at the right time, getting those offensive rebounds. He's just, if that guy gets the ball with a foot, you know, a foot or two outside of the paint against the Warriors, I'm just like, he's scoring. Like, he just, the quickness from getting to like the apex of his jump to put the ball in the basket when he's that close is just it's awesome. But yeah, I mean, I think Denver can get another one. And man, we go back to before the Houston series and we start ranking out who we would have wanted to see had we have missed the play-in. Like, it's funny, like Lakers and Denver are probably pretty up there with Clippers being pretty darn low of who we didn't want to see. And Clippers are out, Denver's rolling, the Lakers are out. But what'd you think about the game itself, game one? Anything you noticed? I have a few things.
It was one of those games where you were so glad that they weren't playing Houston anymore because Steph just seemed free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's still going to be hard because Minnesota has good defenders on their team.
Really good defenders.
But the physicality was different in this game. And so as I was watching it, this is before Steph got hurt, my thought was, he can go off in this series. That was my initial thought. Now because, you know, he is older, he's not going to be on fire for all the games. He will have an off game like he has. But I just thought, the Warriors, if the Warriors lose to Minnesota, it's not going to be because they can't create space for Steph. He is going to find it. He's going to have his pockets and he's going to be able to get his shot off. So that wasn't going to be the problem. So I was actually so happy that they were out of Houston, because the Houston thing was so frustrating. If you're a Steph Curry fan, it was so frustrating to watch because he just could not get unlocked. And here he just had so much more freedom. Now, we know that all of this is related to everything, and so a lot of the wear and tear on his body in that Houston series probably has a reason to do with him hurting his hamstring. I just hope that, you know, when I always think about this when it comes to Kevin Durant. Now, I know this isn't the same injury, but the calf injury, and then he came back, and then it became the Achilles. Like, for someone as old as Steph in this late of his career, even if it's the playoffs, like, you don't want to sacrifice him having like a season ending injury in the playoffs because of whatever his body is going through with the wear and tear, even though he says himself, like, this is why you train. This is what you train for, is this opportunity. So I know he's got to be super bothered. But that was the main thing that stuck out, which is, man, I thought Steph was going to have a crazy good series.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that shot he hit kind of before he goes down, I think it was Nikhil Alexander Walker just in his grill, but he was still like 3 feet behind the 3-point line. Like, you just, I didn't even see him get one of those in Houston that he felt was kind of contested, but still like enough space for him to put up a confident shot. Like, I don't remember many of those in Houston. But yeah, that's, yeah, geez. I mean,
he stared him down too. He's just like looking in his eyes. And he's like, you know, I'm going to shoot this. I just have to do these dribbles just because, you know, I just got to do them. I'm going to shoot this. And it was like a rainbow. Mm-hmm. He like got it up there and bam.
Wow. Yeah. I feel like a few of the things I noticed were post Steph injury, just of the Minnesota Timberwolves, of they were picking on Julius Randle defensively. But I also felt that Dante DiVincenzo in the fourth quarter guarding Jimmy was like actually working for Minnesota. But I did notice that, like, okay, right when, if Jimmy gets the ball at the perimeter, and, you know, Dante was awesome that game. Dante, one of the main players that I was like, okay, he's having like a pretty good game regardless of the shooting. Like, he's impacting the game.
He's also going to foul out of one of these games because he is so physical.
Yes. Yeah, he is. I wish he was still on this team, because that team was playing soft and they needed some physicality, and Dante was one of the only ones providing it. But when Jimmy, you know, was trying to get to the basket from the perimeter, like, Dante was doing a good job, but you get Jimmy to kind of push him down off the ball, get into more of like a post spot where he has his butt to the basket. You give Jimmy the ball, DiVincenzo's rendered useless. So
yeah,
I wonder if we're going to see some of that, because now that Steph's gone, what's the starting lineup? Are they going to stick Buddy Hield on Anthony Edwards on a revenge game two to start? Like, I feel like that's almost asking for like a 9-0 stretch to open the game by Anthony Edwards alone. What's the starting lineup going to look like? And yeah, I mean, I think they are on plus minus. They were saying that today is an off day for the Warriors, but Jimmy said he needs to get into a gym to practice some ISO stuff. But yeah, I mean, so just looking at really quick, I pulled their best lineups from the previous series against the Lakers, and I bet if I give you one shot, you can guess what their best lineup is. And if you don't, I bet you'll be pretty close.
You're talking about Minnesota's best lineup?
Mm-hmm. From a plus minus perspective.
I would say, obviously, Ant is involved. I would say Ant, Conley, Dante, Naz Reid, and who's the defender?
McDaniels.
Yeah.
So you were right on four of them. No Conley, okay. Julius Randle. So it's
okay.
Dante or Ant at the one, Dante or Ant at the two, Jaden at the three, Julius at the four, Naz at the five. It's been that lineup played 22 minutes in the first series against the Lakers, the second most played lineup, or the third most played lineup that they used, and it was plus 27. So I mean, it's just been one game, but I went and looked at what that lineup did in game one, and they were one of the only lineups that were like plus. Julius, Dante, Naz, Ant, and Jaden. Yep, plus four. They played 9 minutes, but plus four in game one. So I am worried about that lineup. I think that's a lineup that could hurt us, but I wonder, I don't know. I feel like Gobert's food for us, but I know it's no Steph, so the drop coverage thing is kind of not as prevalent, you know, without Steph, but I wonder how, if they go away from that quicker, because again, like, your third most played lineup against the Lakers, but by far your best one from a plus minus perspective. So I wonder if, you know, they go away from Gobert quicker or they stick with him, but
I don't know. I think they believe in him. Like, it's almost like if they don't go with him, then his demeanor kind of dictates how they feel, and they don't want him to be a sourpuss or whatever it is. But even the coach was trying to defend him and was trying to, like, that's what I saw. So when he was complaining about the referees and allowing all the holding and dragging Gobert and all that stuff where he made that complaint, I don't know if he really believes in it. I think he wanted Gobert to know that he was sticking up mm-hmm. for him. But on the flip side, if you watch all of those videos that he believes that that's happening to Rudy, Rudy is doing the exact same thing. Rudy is grabbing jerseys mm-hmm. every time. And maybe that's just what boxing out these days is. It's just grabbing jerseys, but Rudy's doing it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that, if those videos are necessarily going to help the cause. They may hurt the cause, and that they're going to, oh yeah, why Rudy's the tallest guy out here. Why is he also grabbing everybody's jersey? But, you know, Looney said what the right thing was to say, which is like, yeah, you know, this is the playoffs, man. Like, we're a little, you know, nothing beats last game, last series for us. Yep. Like, we're just being physical. Like, that's the way. Yeah.
And I know Finch would have said that regardless of if Steph got hurt or not, but I just hate that he said it when Steph goes down, because then there's no retaliation of like, well, we'll send these videos to the office because Steph's getting held every single possession here. And then it won't work now because, you know, Steph's.
Well, I mean, yeah, he was in that game, too. So, you know, it's not like, you know, if you're going to use that argument, you can't also then say that you are not grabbing Steph on every play, because that's just like the entire NBA right now. That's what they do until they can't do it anymore. All right. Was there anything else before we talk about your Valkyries experience?
Do you think that it's a game 2 blowout?
If the Warriors stay within 10 points, I would be really surprised.
Okay.
Yeah, that could be late. That could be like, you know, maybe third quarter game gets away from them. But I think also Steve Kerr is going to use any excuse that if the game does get away from them a little bit to get those guys some rest. Because what did Jimmy play, like 44 minutes?
Yeah.
And so he's going to sneak any of the, like, you know, and then, you know, look, the second string, because of our guy, the goon, Pat Spencer, you know that they're going to be active.
Yeah.
So even if you do make some of these changes, maybe you're a little bit more okay with the rest in game 2. And then, you know, and if it does cause you to get behind a little bit, then you're like, okay, like we'll just utilize the rest. But I did like Pat Spencer getting some run. He isn't the best decision maker necessarily, but he's very aggressive and he's very attentive. And I think that is positive for that team. I think if a couple of those players like Moses and JK.
What a bad Moses game, man. Not many times I feel like I could say that.
That might be the worst Moses game.
Might be the worst Moses game I've ever seen.
He's also seems to be a little flustered mm-hmm. with the constant changes in the lineup. But if they, you know, because there was a Moses game in Houston where he was just like trying to dunk on people. Mm-hmm. Like I would like, and if he misses shots, like I'm okay with that because at least he's being aggressive. But when he's passive and he ends up with the grenade, why does he always end up with the grenade? That's what I want to know.
I feel like Draymond does too, but Draymond's like he understands like, okay, someone needs to shoot this because they got a few shot clock violations.
Draymond's just trying to hit the rim so they could possibly get an offensive rebound. Mm-hmm. But if Moses and JK had a little bit more of that Spencer mentality, they may also end up with offensive rebounds near the bucket.
It's
or tip dunks.
It's been the whole story of their damn career.
Yeah, why can't they? Why is it all in this like little man who's going to be a career backup instead of in like these tremendous athletic wings?
High draft selections. I think TK even said on plus minus. So I listened to plus minus on the way to work, and then on my lunch break, I watched the quarters 2 through 4 because I got to watch quarter one on the train ride to Chase Center. But I heard TK say, he was like, I was talking to someone from the team and they were saying Moses was really bad tonight, but he was also really bad on defense. And I started watching and I was like, whoa, like there are just some obvious switches that Buddy Hield's on Ant, and okay, it's clear that Ant's going to get by him. Moses, step in, take Ant. Buddy takes your guy on the perimeter. And Moses just didn't switch it. And there's like a couple times. And I was just like, I actually started paying attention to that after I had heard him say that. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is not that great. Mm-hmm. So what's your, okay, last thing before we move on. What's your starting lineup mm-hmm. pick? Well, I don't know. I forgot what they came out of the half with. It was a GP?
I think it was GP okay. and Pods was the backcourt.
So it's GP, Pods, Buddy, Draymond, Jimmy.
Yes.
That's so and tiny.
It's so tiny.
But that's how
other
been.
Than other than Pat Spence, who do you...
You'd go...
Who could you move in
Kuminga,
there?
I guess.
But then who goes to the backcourt?
It would be
Buddy and Pods
in the backcourt. I think that is a lineup that will get played if it didn't already. I forgot what the exact lineup that got played was. I think this will be good for JK because now he's on the hook for multiple games. Like he is probably going to play multiple games here instead of just being like, okay, you had one chance with game three or whatever, when Jimmy was out. Now he's back. Now we could send you back to the bench. Like he did good things. He also did bad things, but I hope that, you know, there's if there was any pressure on him, which I imagine he feels a lot of pressure, that some of it's lifted in the sense of like, okay, you could do a few bad things and probably expect to still either come back in that game or play the next game because Steph is out until game six and we need someone who's going to provide potentially something. And he is one of those guys.
Here's something I actually just thought of. You remember when Jordan Poole's last year with the Warriors, where we would watch him play defense and he would be like overly aggressive to put himself out of position. And it was almost like he was doing that so that he didn't actually have to play real defense. Yeah. Because if he did, then he would get actually burned for real. How do you think there's anything to that with JK just going to the rim and just constantly losing the ball? Because if he constantly loses the ball, then he doesn't actually have to try and finish at the rim, which he may miss. Like, it's so weird how easy it is for him to be on a drive and the ball just to go out of bounds.
Yeah, it feels like it's happening a lot. I hope not. I do feel like when I was watching game seven against the Rockets, there was a play where he had a trail. He could have blocked it. He was trailing on a fast break. And then I think Buddy was able to slow down the offensive player, which means you give those athletic defenders behind the offensive player a chance to glass it. And JK just didn't give that effort. And I'm like, man, you just watch Amen and he's flying all over the place. I know Amen's a better athlete, but JK is supposed to be this good athlete as well. Like, I just feel like there's maybe some bad, maybe there was some bad blood of JK being like, you guys have given up on me so many times. I'm losing so much money. But then again, like, okay, then play hard. Maybe you can regain some of that value. But I don't know. I was wondering if there is some sort of like, I'm not giving full effort because I feel wronged. I don't know if that's the case, but I felt like there has been lack of effort from him, not just like being on every single offensive glass defensively, just flying all around, because we've seen him do it and he's not mm-hmm. doing it. So maybe hopefully he starts doing it, because if not, then he's not providing much.
All right, let's talk about the Valkyries.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano. Or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
All right, so how was it? You were there. Chase Center, game one.
Maybe one of the most fun basketball experiences I've ever attended.
That first half was rough basketball. The second half did a lot better, though.
Yes. And I say this from, it was a very wholesome experience. Like, I've never been, and maybe I was so young at Oracle, so I forgot what it felt like for just a rowdy arena, but I wouldn't say like maybe rowdy for the Valkyries, but it was just like, so like you could tell these fans were just so happy and had been waiting so long for this team, for a WNBA team to be in the Bay Area, because, you know, the camera starts going around during timeouts for a dance break. And if any person gave 2% of effort, people were going nuts. Like, people were like clapping them up. And it was just like that type of experience where, you know, like at halftime when the kids come on the court and they do a little game because their youth basketball team set it up and, you know, everyone goes to go get snacks and stuff. But for the Valkyries crowd, they were going nuts every time these girls hit a shot. And I just moments like that where it's like, you're just any type of reason to applaud, you're taking it. And they even interviewed, they, I think one of the girls had like 2 or 4 points at halftime. And then the, whoever with the, I forget what they're called, like the in arena host or something. I think she sensed that this, she like sensed something. Cause I don't think she would have just grabbed the player and interviewed her, but she did for the big, for everyone to watch, and everyone was just going nuts. And it was, I don't really know how to explain it. Like, but it was just any opportunity to cheer and be like hype that you are where you are, the crowd took it up. And I think
different from the Warriors though, right? Like a different feel.
Yes. And again, I mean, I do remember Oracle to an extent. Like, I mean, I went to a lot of games at Oracle, but I remember Oracle being way more crazy. Like, I feel like when I'm at Chase and I feel a Steph moment coming, and I'll like get out of my seat before he even shoots it, because I know it's like there's like a split second it's open, and I get out of my seat because I know there's a chance he's going to shoot it, and of course there's a chance he's going to make it. I feel like I'm one of the only people in the arena that do that. In Oracle, it felt like I was in the majority, like everyone was doing that. But for this Valkyries game, I took my partner, and she, like, we've only gone to a handful of Warriors games. I could tell it's not really like her favorite thing to go to a Warriors game. She really enjoyed the Valkyries thing. So
that's good.
It just felt like good vibes. Everyone wanted to be there, wholesome and an entertaining game. The team, I think the team's energy as well, by not like just like getting whooped by the Sparks and the playing off of the crowd and playing physically, playing hard, playing together for your first game ever. A lot of fun stuff. I think the camera, I don't know if you've seen the video, Julie Van Loo skips it, the really nice pass to Caitlin Chen on a fast break for her first bucket. And I think the video actually captured how loud it was. Like it was, mm-hmm. it got in, that was probably the loudest moment of the night. And I feel like you could actually probably see it in the video. So from a broadcast perspective, I actually watched the first quarter on TV today because I got to the arena after the first quarter. And I've got to say, it didn't look great.
No, what's up with that picture?
Yeah, it looked really grainy, and it looked really a lot of reds. It felt like the filtering was like very warm, too warm. And like, I don't know if we're just spoiled by NBC. Whoever is it, NBC that is the Warriors?
NBC Sports Bay Area, yeah.
Yep. And I don't know if we're just spoiled by them, but I was just not like, I was like, this looks like 2008 Warriors, what I'm looking at right now on this 2025 Valkyries broadcast.
So yeah, we can talk about this now. Actually, you know what? I want to ask you one more question before we talk about the broadcast. When I watched the first half of that game, I think probably everybody thought about this, which is who's going to be their go-to scorer? I don't know if anybody stood out necessarily to you. It definitely looks like they're expecting Kate Martin to be a off the bench, you know, corner three specialist for them. She had the green light. She was putting them up.
It made like one shot out of like 12.
Yeah. but I was like, okay, like when they need a bucket, who's going to be the person? Now I say that because they cut Cheyenne Sellers before she could even play in a preseason game, which is kind of weird to me. And as I was thinking about this, like, okay, well, maybe there's too many players kind of like her on the team already, and she was just going to be behind. Maybe she's hurt. Maybe she didn't look great. Why cut her before you even have a chance to play a game? Because it's not like what I watched in the first half was, oh, that's why Cheyenne Sellers didn't have an opportunity, because this person was in her spot and they are so much better. Like, I'm sure from the coaching standpoint, they're like, yeah, she's behind. But from a wing scorer, I didn't really see anybody who looked dependable to put the ball in the bucket.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like I was watching a lot of players who were pretty good, good. I think with the Cheyenne thing, like, I think if, you know, you list out the roster and you say, where does Cheyenne Sellers fall in this 18? She was probably, as of right now, in terms of her current skill, outside of the best 12. But when you account for potential, which an expansion team should probably be doing, she probably jumps to like top 5 potential. So, you know, I'm with you. Like, there wasn't anyone that like completely stood out. Maybe Julie Van Loo was someone to me that I was like, I wasn't as familiar with your game, and now I'm like very impressed, and I think she will be a starter eventually. Like, I thought she was that good. But
yeah, that was Shaq and Christian Wood right there.
Yeah,
I wasn't familiar with your game. I gotta apologize.
but no, I was completely against the Cheyenne Sellers cut. I think I still am. I think that the conversation that, you know, Natalie Nakase being the first Japanese head coach, maybe NBA and WNBA, I assume. I don't remember a Japanese head coach in the NBA, but I want to see her succeed. I want to give her the benefit of the doubt because, you know, there's no representation on the Asian side as a whole in really basketball in general. And especially, you know, since we're Japanese, I want to see her do well. But I was interested on like the conversation around the Cheyenne thing where she was just like, I got to pick the best 12. You know, there was nothing wrong with her knee. I forgot the exact quote, but it was just very much like, okay, you just didn't like her. You just didn't really like think she fit at all. And my question is, if it wasn't the knee and I can't imagine Sellers showed you much more than, you know, what she put on tape in college, yet you drafted her knowing what she was capable of. And if it had nothing to do with injury, like, I can't imagine she played worse than what she's showed for 4 years, or maybe much better than what she showed for 4 years. I just don't understand cutting her before a preseason game. Mm-hmm. I think I still stand there. I wonder, I don't even want to put this out into the ether, but I've thought about it. We've seen some coaches like Natalie Nicasse, not in, in terms of the very short basketball player who had to play against the odds and had to be really tough, and how that plays into their coaching and roster selection, right? You remember JJ's coach from when he was in seventh grade, that guy, I already forgot his name. If you're listening to this, you've got no friends on this side, my guy. But I just wonder, like, you know, does she skew in the sense of, because, you know, if you're like the very undersized player who played at a high level, you have a chip on your shoulder. Are you going to gravitate more towards players that are going to have a chip on their shoulder and, you know, maybe have the odds against them? Or are you going to gravitate more towards, like, you know, I guess more of the talent side? And like, that's what, that was the weird thing about, you know, JJ's coach, is that he shied away from what made him good, and he went just for like the God-given talent of height and size. And I don't know where Nicasse is yet, but I feel like Sellers, yeah, she had the size, but, you know, I've listened to Sellers talk before, and she was like, yeah, I played with a chip on my shoulder. Like, I was a top 15 recruit, but I didn't make the McDonald's All-American team, which is a 24 player best in the high school, like, circuit. Like, you know, I don't know if you've seen it's called the Hoop Girls Top 100. It's I think it's ESPN's top 100 of high school rankings. And Cheyenne, I think, was top 18 when she was coming into college. And then she didn't make the McDonald's team, which is the best 24. And it's like, how did she not make? But she has that chip on her shoulder as well. I don't know. I'm very confused still about the decision. And I've gotten in slight Reddit arguments with it. I just lean on the side of, like, you're an expansion team. I know you want to set a culture and an identity, but this was real talent here. That and keep in mind that she got cut, she got waived, and then she got claimed. How many players do you see NBA or WNBA not get through waivers? I never see it. This might be the first time I've actually ever seen someone get claimed.
So. We can stay on this. I'll talk about the broadcast in a little bit. I'm with you. I don't have a problem with the coaching staff determining that she was maybe not going to make the team. My problem is not at least playing her through the first preseason game. Now, maybe that was in her deal. Maybe in signing her, the agent was like, hey, if she's not going to make your final 12, let us know early so we can try and latch on to a different team. Like, that could be something, right? That there may have been a deal like that. Mm. And so that's the thing that we don't know. And this is the problem that I have with the current coverage of the Valkyries, which I know will get better. The Warriors are still playing. But if this happened in the NBA, if you had a top, you know, 15 pick and just get cut before the preseason started, there would be questions as to why. Like, what's the reason? What's the story? And we haven't really heard too much. I feel like there is a story that we will learn about at some point, which leads me to Yustay. Now, Zena Kata on Twitter, she tweeted, she was answering somebody asking about Yustay, and she said that Yustay is still overseas preparing to represent Lithuania in FIBA Eurobasket. She is not expected to join the team this season. A common occurrence with overseas players drafted to the WNBA. Valkyries essentially have drafted and stashed her. And then she gave sort of the reasons why Yustay may not want to come over. And then she said, ultimately, she will be a valuable player for the Valkyries when she does come over, or nice draft capital to include in trades. Now, the only box score I could find of this game, Step Your Game Up, Google Step Your Game Up, The Athletic, was the end box score. They have Yuste in this box score with 0 points in 0 minutes. So not told ESPN that Yuste is not coming this year. They fully expected her. They may have expected her to play in the game and not even know what's going on, which, again, this is going to be something that we get better at with the coverage of the Valkyries. But I feel like these two things that we don't know the answers to should be like giant stories, and they aren't yet giant stories.
Totally. I think that's also, I've gotten the sense, I think I said it on the pod last week, that just more fans that have, been in the WNBA space for, say, 5 to 10 years, like, weren't that surprised by it. I was quite surprised by it.
Well, this is the conversation that we had with Sabrina when she was on the show about, you know, the possibility of what happens when you draft the international players. And it's funny because the people who cover the W, they're like, yeah, this happens. But the new fans who don't understand this, we're all going like, what's going on here? Why is this not a story? So there's got to be a nice merging of these two, the two ways that we are following this league, so that we get more explanations about this. And I watched I watched the game. My Hulu cut off. I didn't see the last minute of the game, but a couple things that stood out. It's funny because on the back of Letitia's jersey, her last name,
Am I Here?
I love that. And then she went out and just busted them with 20. She was the leading scorer. Nobody else was in double digits. So how do you pronounce her name?
Amihir. I think it's also Leticia.
Leticia. Okay.
Leticia, so Amihir.
That South was Carolina. Awesome.
Honestly, she was one of the players who I did not name in the 12 when we did our thing. And I guess, I don't know. You say all the names again, and I would be, well, I guess since we did it last time, no more Cheyenne.
Mm-hmm.
So should we do it again? Is that bad? Now that I feel like maybe we can make it more confident, because,
well, okay, I can give you how many people who played yesterday.
But 7, 8, 9, 10,
11, 12, 13, 14, 15 people saw the court yesterday.
But also, I think two were injured. I didn't hear
14. Sorry, 14.
I didn't hear anything about injuries, but Cecilia Zandalasini and Stephanie Talbot did not play, and I believe they're both on like guaranteed contracts.
So they made I didn't see who was the change, but they did say, I believe it was Monique Billings wasn't scheduled to start, and then she had to start. So it was kind of like a last minute change.
Okay.
So it may have
there
been
was an injury
like
then. Yeah, I wonder if Steph Talbot was supposed to start, and then Mo Billings had herself a good game too.
I thought she played well. Tiffany Hayes played well, with the exception of the outside shooting.
Yes.
I was actually in the box score doesn't really represent it, but I really liked Carla Leite. Is it late or late?
I think they've been saying late. I bet if we ask her how you truly pronounce it, it would probably be different.
Yeah. So I thought she has an engine. She also had 3 turnovers and 3 fouls, but she's fast and quick. She's pushing that ball. So I like that. And you mentioned Van Loo already, who, like, there's clear, like, it looks like she has one specific skill set that is really well, and we'll see about the other skills. But I mean, the main thing is, and maybe this is just opening game jitters, the shooting wasn't fantastic, but it at the end it did get better. The second half was a lot better than the first half.
Yeah, I think so. Van Loo is actually, last year she was a rookie at 31 years old.
She's an older player. It's amazing.
But she was super entertaining to watch. I think her passing is really good. I think her ball handling's pretty good. I don't know if I saw a 3-point shot go in, but she was audacious enough to pull a step back that, you know, as she's doing the step back motion, I'm like, this looks right. But it just, the shot didn't go in. So I wonder if she does have that in her bag. But so I thought, yeah, she was impressive. I thought Carla looked very much like first game jitters, like raw, but you could see flashes. Like, did you see the, like, there was a play where shot clock winding down, she takes her player off the dribble, she draws two and kicks it to the left corner where Temi was supposed to be, but Temi had cut in and it just was a pass right to the coach. But if you look where that trajectory is going, it was going to hit her right in the hands of that left corner shot. Now, I don't know. I just thought that that was kind of impressive, even though it was a just complete turnover. But I think you could, Carla's got to make the roster. I need to watch something where I'm like, that there is a young player with potential that could be a Valkyrie for many years. Like, I just want to have one of those players that I could watch. And to me, she's got the best odds right now. And now that Cheyenne's gone, now that Yuste is not coming this year, they should just treat her as the first round pick because she was a first round pick the year before. She's still younger than all of the college rookies. She's only 21 years old. So that's, she's got to make the roster. I will put her in every single roster. And also, I feel like this is something I noticed because I was in person. Free throws were happening. Say it was like Kate Martin shooting free throws. Tip Hayes on the bench calls Carla over to talk to her about something. I think I said last week, I was like, I don't know if she speaks English. I guess she must know how to speak some. And then just another little thing. I think Tip had her sit by her on the bench. So I'm assuming this is I have taken you under my wing young player, which I think that's the perfect player for Carla to try and learn from. Tip, hopefully Van Loo does it as well, but I know she's newer in the league, but I'm happy that happened. But like there was honestly some players that like I'm pretty darn sure are going to get cut that I was kind of impressed by.
I mean, there's not many players. Like there's only one person who got less than 8 minutes, and that was Toure.
And she
only played
cool
3 minutes, and she had 2 points from free throws.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone else got at least 8 minutes. And is Caitlin Chen one of the top three most popular players on the team already?
She might be number one, and she's probably not going to. I don't know how they're going to pull this, where apparently I saw on Reddit, like, or I forgot where I saw it, top three selling jersey in the league. No, there's no way. But for sure,
wow.
On the roster.
They actually have her. Do they have her jersey out there for sale?
Yes, you can buy it.
Wow.
I don't want to misreport that, so I'm taking it back because I didn't see it from a verified source. I just saw a tweet and I was like, oh, that'd be cool if that's true. But I totally imagine she's probably the best selling jersey on the Valkyries. I would, her or Kate Martin, I'd bet it. But okay, here I have it here. So here we go. One more time. Maybe we'll do this once a week until I guess they have to do it by next Friday. But Janelle Salon, she potentially plays. I think she's in the, is it the Italian league? I think she's in the Italian league. She's a French player playing in the Italian league. Their team is up 2-0. And they play tomorrow, Thursday, our time, like 11:45 or something like that. If she wins that, they win the finals in Italy and she comes over and joins the team. I think she's a lock. Just, I've seen her play before and she's young and she does things really well that you'd want on a winning team. So to me, she's one of the 12, but I guess I shouldn't even start with her. But just a few more notes on some of these players. Chloe Bibby played in Maryland, was Cheyenne Seller's teammate, I think a couple years older than her. She is from Australia. I think she played in the Spanish league this year and won the MVP of that league. She impressed me. I don't know her stats, but I think she shot a couple threes. They look good. I think she made one or two. She took someone to the basket and shot a shot. Like I think she does good things. Also, Kiara Linskins, I think she's Belgium. I think it was Julie Van Loo's like friend and teammate from the national team during Eurobasket. And that's, I think Sabrina had said, like, that's why I think she got like even a roster training camp spot. She looked pretty good. I think maybe just because she looked like the most physically imposing person on the court, being 6'4".
Second tallest player, by the way, I think.
Yeah.
To Elisa, how do you pronounce Elisa's last name?
Kanane. I don't know.
She's 6'5", and Kiara is 6'4". Actually, Monique Billings is also 6'4".
So like
and Temi. Temi's also 6'4" as well.
So I've got to say there are interesting players in this roster. Even Alyssa, like she did some cool things on the court too. She took someone from the wing to the basket. And if you're 6'5", you're supposed to be planted in the paint. Not much movement going on, but she plays like a wing. But okay, here's the, so I guess we start with the 12 now. I think Carla won. No Caitlin for me. No Caitlin Chen. I'll save Leticia and me here for later. Yuste is not coming. Kayla 2, Kayla Thornton 2, Stephanie Talbot 3, Janelle Salon 4, Temi. They were pronouncing her name differently on the broadcast last night. And yeah, Richard made a note about that from her hoop stats, and I forgot how they pronounced it.
It was definitely different. Jacob Toby, the new play by play guy, he pronounced it differently.
So Temi, oh man, now I got to do it over again.
No, you got 5.
Okay, so Temi's 5.
Hayes
is 6. Kate 7. They started Veronica Burton.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say Veronica's 8.
Mm-hmm.
Cecilia Zandalasini's 9. Monique Billings is 10. We have 2 more spots.
And you don't have MI here yet on the team.
I haven't done Leticia Amihir. I haven't done Caitlin Chen. I haven't.
No Julie Van Loo.
Oh, Julie's making the team. Julie's making the team. And what is that, 11?
That's 11.
So now it's just between Caitlin, Leticia, and Toure, Kiara Linskins.
The bigs.
Alyssa, and Chloe Bibby. So there's one more spot between 6 people. And I hope it's between Chloe Bibby and Kiara, but I guess it doesn't matter. I mean, I still want to see them play good ball, but like, I guess do Caitlin Chen then, if you're, you know, she's selling tickets, she's selling jerseys. Maybe you just do Chen, but from a like a position of need, I'd imagine maybe like a center, like Kiara would be the pick. They did do some Mo. I think they did some Mo Billings at the 5, small ball 5 last night.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel confident about the 11 that I've listed. I think that 12th spot is between those 6 players. And I'm not confident about who's going to get the selection. Because I think if Caitlin gets it, I don't think she's the best player out of the 6. I don't think she has this incredible potential like Cheyenne did. But I think she's good, and I think she hustles. She's fun to watch. So we'll see.
Now, the one thing about these end of the bench spots is that you need the type of players who are going to be okay with being at the end of the bench.
For this team, you're not at the end of the bench for 2 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, whatever it is, whenever Eurobasket is, you get pushed to there's an asterisk for this year for being an end of the bench player. You're actually going to play.
By the way, this is only for the people watching on YouTube, because by the time the people listen to this audio, it will be late news. Do you know the Knicks beat the Celtics again today? They came back. They were down something like 12 or something to start the fourth quarter, and they outscored the Celtics 30-17 in the fourth to win the game.
You're telling me now the away teams, as Denver and OKC are about to tip off, the away teams are now 6-0. Because both the
Cavs, the Pacers won again yesterday.
Won again, and then the Knicks won again. Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I hope the Warriors don't end that streak.
All right. By the way, Trey popped into the chat.
He's here.
Just like
we asked him. Yeah, we asked if am I here, and he's here.
All right. So I'll go quick on the broadcast. If you are in the Bay Area, you can watch all the games on KPIX Plus. Now, I actually like the broadcast team. So the broadcast team is Jacob Toby, who I believe does Spurs stuff.
Yeah.
And then Morgan Reagan, who does pre and post game for the Kings.
And then has like the most popular. G-League. Oh, yeah. I think she does G League, and she has the most popular Kings podcast, the Deuce and Mo.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
So, yeah, a lot of my Kings friends, Marshall, you know, Marsh, big fan.
Mm hmm.
Big fan.
Oh, nice. Okay, so I will say, outside of Toby getting a lot of names wrong, which It's the first game.
Well, like, who knows? What if he's right? What if Temmie did Richard Cohen propose the idea? Did Temmie change the accent? Or
it wasn't even that. He was just mixing up Kayla Thornton and Mo Billing. I mean, that may have even been wrong, but he was mixing up players, and he did it like several times of the same two players that he kept screwing up.
I would not mess up one time, guys.
I will give him this one game. This is what the preseason is for. But I enjoyed the broadcast. I thought both of them had nice chemistry together. The rest of it, I feel like we did better stuff at San Jose State, like when we were doing like live games and stuff. Like it was really bad. So the pre and post game is done in front of a green screen. And
that's got to change.
They got to change it. They just sit at a desk or something.
The lighting looked bad though. Like
it was really bad.
The lighting looked pretty rough.
And so then, Vern Glenn, who's like a historic Bay Area sports guy, he's been around forever. I don't think he's the right guy for this job. The Valkyries are new. They should feel new. Mm. They should feel like the new hotness. Vern is a nice guy, seemingly, but he is not the right guy to host this the halftime show and the pre and post. He's not. He's old school, and this is kind of new. So I would not have him there. So when they show the broadcaster, so you know how like when you're watching a basketball game, like Fitz and Kalena are kind of going over things before the game, and they have a nice little background. Again, for Jacob and for Morgan, they did it in front of a green screen, and there was this Valkyries like castle or something behind them, which I have no idea what that was or what it signified or why it was there. I took a screenshot and I sent it to you and Ben, and I was like, what the F is this? This is so terrible. It just looked so JV. So I get it. KPIX Plus is not NBC Sports Bay Area. It's a different way that you're showing these games. They went for, broadcast TV. Like all you need is an antenna to watch these games. So you're not opting into cable. You don't have to have cable to watch these games if you live in the Bay Area. But there's going to be some interest from WNBA fans. They want to see what the new team looks like. They want to see what the Valkyries look like. So they're going to pop it into League Pass and they're going to watch this stuff. This stuff looks junior varsity. We need to fix this. I don't know who I need to have a conversation with, who I need to write an email to, but I felt really bad. I was like, imagine being a new fan, or not even a new fan. Imagine being a fan of the Warriors and you're like, oh, I want to see what this new team is about. And then you see like these like college green screen graphics. It's a turnoff. So I think they need to fix that. But I will say the nuts and bolts of it, which is the play-by-play and the color commentary, was really solid. I liked it. So that part was good. But everything wrapping around the actual broadcast was really, really bad.
I wonder how involved Sina is in the pre and post stuff, because I know she is a part of it. But I wonder if, well, I know because of the Warriors, she wasn't able to go. So I wonder if she's the host. Because we know she could host, so I guess we'll have to see about that.
Yeah, she was just on Warriors duty, right?
She was on Warriors duty. Yep.
Yeah. So Trey also says the Bay Area shows up. The crowd was loud. I can't wait to go. I'm excited. I have to find there's only 22 of these games, so it's not like there's unlimited games to go to like the Giants.
Yeah.
So I need to figure it out. I need to figure out which one I want to go to. So
for WNBA fans, I imagine that Minnesota Lynx ticket is going to be very easy to get. And we all know that the Lynx are probably the best team in the West. Just small market, I guess, is the reasoning. But
and the Valkyries are probably going to get cooked.
Yeah. It's a very, I remember looking, it was one of the cheaper tickets. So yeah.
All right. All right, we'll be back next week. The Warriors.
We should record more. I don't want to change up what we've been doing.
It's completely up to you. I can always pop in. We just need to create a little bit of a schedule. But if you want to record more during the week,
especially during the playoffs, But I don't want to be, I don't want to jinx us. You know, we weren't recorded. We were recording on a weekly basis and they won a series, and I don't want to change that.
Well, you know, the thing about it is we do have these two podcast segments, right? We have the Death Lineup and we have Valk's Valley. If you wanted to just do exclusively Valk's one, we could do that. We have this is not a great logo, but it is a logo for the Valkyries. And then we could also separate, like if it's a Warriors playoff game, we'll just talk about the Warriors. And then we could do exclusively Valk's content as well. This is really kind of what we want to do. And also, the Valk's Valley is your brand. This is your name. So, you know, if you want to do other stuff with it, if you want to find someone to record with more frequently, like more power, we can do that too. So we'll decide. We'll figure out some stuff. I think it's really cool that we're covering this team, though.
Yeah.
It's going to give us stuff to do during the end of the spring and the summer, because the NBA season will be over and we'll still have WNBA to talk about. So, All right. Shout out to Trey the Wave. Thanks for checking in and sending us some comments. And thanks to everyone who's watched us on YouTube. If you could subscribe to the channel, we greatly appreciate it. If you're listening to us on the podcast network on the BSPN, and you know, if you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, give us a review. That would be also, we would also be very thankful for that. All right, so we'll figure out a schedule for next week. I actually do have to be in the office on Thursday, so we may not be able to even record Thursday. But you know, with the Warriors, with this playoff schedule, we haven't been consistent with days anyways, just because. So, but we'll figure out when we're going to be back next, but we will be locked and loaded because there's lots of stuff to talk about, both for the Warriors and the Valkyries. So for Bri, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.